been to see me today on matters of state?"
He leaned closer to Granny.
"Yes, there are 100 things you could do," he said, "but the ending would always be the same."
He drew back.
"I am not an unreasonable man, I hope," he added in cheerful tones. "Perhaps, if you persuade the people to be calm, I may be prevailed upon to moderate my rule somewhat. I make no promises, of course."
Granny said nothing.
"Smile and wave," commanded the Duke.
Granny raised one hand in a vague motion and produced a brief rictus that had nothing whatsoever to do with humour. Then she scowled and nudged Nanny Ogg, who was waving and mugging like a maniac.
"No need to get carried away," she hissed.
"But there's our Reet and our Charlene and their babbies," said Nanny. "Cooey!"
"Will you shut up, you daft old bism," snapped Granny, "and pull yourself together." "Jolly good, well done," said the Duke.
He raised his hands, or at least his hand. The other still ached. He'd tried the grater again last night, but it hadn't worked.
"People of Lanqua," he cried, "do not be afeared. I am your friend. I will protect you from the witches. They have agreed to leave you in peace."
Granny stared at him as he spoke. "He's one of these maniac depressives," she said, "up and down like a wasname. Kill you one minute and ask you how you're feeling the next." She became aware that he was looking at her expectantly.
"What?" "I said, I now call upon the respected Granny Weatherwax to say a few words."
He said.
"You said that, did you?"
"Yes."
"You've gone a long way too far," said Granny.
"I have, haven't I?"
The Duke giggled. Granny turned to the expectant crowd, which went silent.
"Go home," she said.
There was a further long silence.
"Is that all?"
said the Duke.
"Yes." "What about pledges of eternal allegiance?" "What about them? Gaither, will you stop waving at people?"
"Sorry."
"And now we are going to go too," said Granny. "But we were all getting on so well," said the Duke. "Come, Gaither," said Granny icily. "And where's McGrath got to?"
McGrath looked up guiltily. She had been deep in conversation with the fool, although it was the kind of conversation where both parties spent a lot of time looking at their feet and picking at their fingernails. 90% of true love is acute, ear-burning embarrassment.
"We're leaving," said Granny.
"Friday afternoon, remember?" hissed the fool.
"Well, if I can," said McGrath. Nanny Ogg leered. And so Granny Weatherwax swept down the steps and through the crowds, with the other two running behind her. Several of the grinning guards caught her eye and wished they hadn't. But here and there, among the watching crowd, was a barely suppressed snigger. She hurtled through the gateway, across the drawbridge and through the town. Granny, walking fast, could beat most other people at a run. Behind them, the Duke, who had crested the latest manic peak on the switchback of his madness and was now coasting speedily towards the water splash of despair, laughed. Granny didn't stop until she was outside the town and under the welcoming eaves of the forest. She turned off the road and flumped down on a log, her face in her hands. The other two approached her carefully. McGrath patted her on the back.
"Don't despair," she said. "You handled it very well, we thought."
"I ain't despairing, I'm thinking," said Granny. "Go away."
Nanny Ogg raised her eyebrows at McGrath in a warning fashion. They backed off to a suitable distance, although, with Granny in her present mood, the next universe might not be far enough, and sat down on a moss-grown stone.
"Are you all right?" said McGrath. "They didn't do anything, did they?"
"Never laid a finger on